Our lesson today comes from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. Hear God's word. So, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your life. And when Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity, like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. And don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish, non-Jewish, religious, irreligious, insider, outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ, and everyone is included in Christ. Amen. Richard Gribble talks about how in ancient times, there was a king who decided to find and honor the greatest person among all of his subjects. And so he did like interviews. There was a man of wealth and property, and another was praised for his healing powers, and a third for his wisdom and his knowledge of the law. The list just went on and on. Another one was lauded for his great business acumen. So there were all these successful people that were brought in, one after another, before the king. It was pretty impressive. And then, finally, there was this one last person. It was just a plain woman, older woman, white hair, and still her eyes just sort of lit up with knowledge and understanding and love. And so the king is saying, "Who's this? What has she done?" And the king's aide says, "You've seen and heard all the others? Well, this one is their teacher." That's an interesting idea, isn't it? And that's something that's often overlooked. And that is how we can put so much emphasis on people who are wealthy, who are famous, who've done all these things that the world considers impressive. And nobody thinks about those behind the scenes who helped them to learn what they learned, who helped them to grow and develop. We have a teacher, but he's wanting to point us in a whole other direction. Because, you know, we live, as we said in our prayers earlier, we live in a crazy world that puts so much emphasis on all the wrong things. And So I was talking earlier with Erica. We've got all these people that are invisible to us who are just struggling to make ends meet in a world that is set up for their failure. That a world that is set up just to help those who have done well already to continue to do well and their offspring to continue to do well. We keep hearing and reading all these stories in the paper about the way parents now are finagling to get their kids into college. And then the most recent thing we heard, and you probably saw in the papers, was about how now parents, in order to take advantage of financial aid in college, are passing off the guardianship of their kids to others because their wealth will keep them from benefiting. And meanwhile, those who actually need the funding will not have it available. There are all these games that are going on behind the scenes all the time. And meanwhile, we have so many people who are struggling. We have those who are struggling to get medication for illnesses that are beyond their control, even as the prices climb, because of that need. And as a result, we have people dying of those illnesses because they have no voice. We see horror stories all around us, one after another. And those horror stories, sadly, occur even as there are many of us who say we are Christian. Many of us out there who claim to be following Christ. Now, this is nothing new. That's why Paul is talking about it. He could see there the big gaps between what people were saying they believed and how they were actually living their lives. And he was calling them on it. And he was calling them to something better. It's amazing as you look at this passage. In the first century, it was filled with all kinds of barriers between people. As Bill Bonnight talks about, the Greeks saw themselves as the culture elite. The Romans were the world's power brokers. The Jews saw themselves as God's favorites. Slaves outnumbered free people and were treated pretty much like animals. And women were usually treated like pieces of property. That exists still. Then came our revolutionary Christ, and barriers began to tumble. Jesus violated social mores by hanging around with questionable characters, the thieves, the prostitutes, political radicals, lower class laborers. He laid hands on contagious lepers, and traditionalists were aghast at him for talking publicly with women. Jesus shattered every barrier between people that he could get his hands on. And the Apostle Paul carried out his crusade. And in his letter to the Colossians, he refers 29 times to every man or every person as the object of Christ's love. Paul gloried in the inclusive gospel and the church of the open door. This morning, as I reread this passage, I was particularly struck by the mention that Paul in Colossians refers 29 times to every person as the object of Christ's love. Even as I think of the 29 people shot and killed in two different places by those acting in hate. Those acting in hate. And sadly, we are seeing more and more people acting out of that hate and out of that anger, even if they claim to be Christian. We are called to something more. We are called to something better. And it's not that it's easy. It's not easy. And we all have obstacles in that. We all have different areas of our life that we're struggling with, that we know we could do better. And God knows this. God knows this, and He wants to help us to be those people who are actually living out our faith. Can you remember a time in your life when you made a conscious choice to try to be different? To try to be a person of faith? It's a radical choice. You may not think of it so, but it is a radical choice. And when you make that commitment, everything changes. And you can feel at times very alone and very alien in this world and in this culture, which is why joining as our church family was important then, and it's important now. Because our values are very, very different. And our way of seeing the world is very, very different. And it's never been more important. As so much ugliness is coming to the surface right now, we need to be the ones who are not shy, who are not hiding, but who are willing to speak out on behalf of those who are struggling and hurting and have no voice. And we are called more than ever to be those who are living out of compassion, out of kindness, out of humility, out of meekness, out of patience. That's who we're called to be. We're not called to be big corporate leaders. We're not called to be famous. We're not called to big things that the public applauds. We're called to live as Christ would want us to live. Not doing things for our own benefit. Not doing things for our own best interest. But doing things that help those who can do nothing for themselves. Help those who are voiceless and struggling. Help those who are lucky if they can get a meal on the table for their kids. Yeah. And it's frightening to think about how many millions of people are in that vulnerable position. Every day, every moment, you and I have choices to make. Are we going to see each person as our brother and sister and treat all with love and kindness? Or are we going to live in fear? Are we going to be too busy protecting ourselves and our own stuff? We're being asked that every day. And God is calling us to be those who live like Christ and love like Christ towards every other single human being. May He give us the strength to live it out. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are a broken people. And there are many, many challenges as we try to live as You call us to live. But we pray, Lord, that You would help us to live our faith in real actions. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.